no glory on earth like the glory of God. The glory of God is magnificent.
Welcome to Live with Passion. I'm so glad that you tuned into the program. I want you to know that you were created, and I was created, to be related. All of us are in relationship. Christianity is a religion of relationships. How you treat people is of utmost importance to God. And I want you to know that all of your relationships, whether it be your family, your marriage, the community, they can all improve. And that's very important to God. And I'm about to teach about that, so let's go to the live preaching. The Lord be with you. Proclamation from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to his apostles, "Who among you would say to your servant who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here immediately and take your place at table'? Would he not rather say to him, 'Prepare something for me to eat, put on your apron and wait on me while I eat and drink, then you may eat and drink when I am finished'? Is he grateful to that servant because he did what was commanded? So should it be with you. When you have done all that you have been commanded, say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We have done what we were obliged to do.'" The Gospel of the Lord. So I call this homily, "Created to be Related." And it has to do with relationships. And I heard this story of these three ministers. There was a rabbi, there was a priest, and a Protestant minister, and they were sitting around talking about when life begins. And the rabbi says, "Well, in our church, in our synagogue, we believe that life begins at birth." And the priest said, "Well, wait a minute. In our denomination, in Catholicism, we believe that life begins at conception." And then the Protestant minister kind of smiled and he said, "Well, my experience, life begins when the dog dies and the kids leave home." Actually, life begins when you can relate to the kids and take care of the dog before they die and they leave home. And that's what I want to talk about. This is called "Created to be Related." And it's so true. I really believe that we were created to be in relationship. We're not islands unto ourselves, as John Donne wrote. We are part of a continent. And even God reveals himself to us as Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So there's a relationship even within God. And God created us to be related to him and also related to other people. We come out of our mother's womb, for example, connected. We're connected by an umbilical cord. Of course, the umbilical cord gives us nutrients and gives us liquids that we need to survive. But really, I think it's kind of a parable in itself that when we're created, when we come out of our mother's womb, we're not meant to be alone. We're meant to be connected. And it's the same way in life, really. We are created to be in relationship. And I want to help you this morning to improve your relationships. Remember what God said way back in the beginning in the book of Genesis. He said that it's not good for us to be alone when he created people. He said it's not good for man to be alone. And then he created Eve. And it's the same with us. It's not good for us to be alone. So let's talk about relationships, because really, in Christianity, one of the keys of following Jesus, he was always talking about relationships and improving, loving, forgiving. And that's so very important as we journey in life, that if we want to be a true follower of Christ, we have to pay attention to our relationships. And we've got to try to improve them. And I like to say that holiness isn't so much kneeling before the Blessed Sacrament with a veil on in a perfect prayer posture, although that's good. Holiness is treating people with dignity, respect, forgiveness, and justice. That's what holiness is all about. So let's talk about relationships and improving our relationships and try to get a little deeper. As I thought about this and I prepared for my homily, I realized that I'm in a menagerie of relationships. I've got, for example, relationships on many different levels, or circles, if you will. First of all, I'm a part of a family. I've got my mom. Of course, my dad died 9 years ago, but I've got sisters, aunts, uncles, so that's one level. Then I belong to a religious community. I profess vows as a Passionist, as 25 years ago. And so in our Western province, the Passionists, we have about 75 guys now, men, brothers, priests, and I'm in relationship to all of them on some level. And then we're part of a wider worldwide community, and you know, we're in 59 countries, the Passionists are, and I have relationships with many of the guys in other places too. So there's community, there's family, and of course there's my those who help me in my ministry. I have a married couple in Oregon that help me. I have a married couple in Florida that help me. They field my phone calls. I have TV producers that help me. I've got a couple of those. I've got, you know, people that help me with my books and different things. So I can't do what I do in ministry alone. I need people to help me. And in order to do that, I have to have good relationships, or else nobody's going to want to help me. And then, of course, I have friends that just on another level that I play golf with, that I have benefactors that support me in many different levels. So I've got all these different circles out there of relationships. You have to understand that, you know, nobody's an individual. All of us have family, and community, and relationships, and they're all out there. I'm just trying to help you to understand that. So those are just a few little tips. Now, I was reading a book as I prepared for this on relationships by Leo Buscaglia, if you've ever read anything by him. It was called Loving Each Other. And he surveyed some married people about relationships, you know, multitudes of married people. So, you know, they got the survey right there. What are the three most important things in marriage, in a relationship? And they came up with three important things. One was communication, to make a marriage work. Number two was affection, or caring. And number three was forgiveness. And I'm going to talk about all three of those really quickly. First of all, communication. You know, to make any relationship work, it begins with a smile and getting to know your name, but it continues with sharing ideas, sharing thoughts, communication. Now, I'm not married, but I do belong to a religious community. And in, for example, my relationship with God, you've got to communicate. You know, I have whole talks and books on prayer out there. And communication is a two-way street. You speak, but you also listen. And it's the same way in any relationship. And in community, for example, here's how we communicate. I live with seven guys in Houston. We communicate through our homilies. That's one, daily mass, the homilies. So we listen. We have community meetings where we talk. We have faith sharing where we sit around and we talk about our faith. We have different topics and we share with each other. We take walks together. We go on a retreat once a year together to get to know each other and to share faith. And we spend quality time together at meals. That's so important. You know, getting together at meals and sharing time and quality time. And it's the same in a marriage. I would recommend turning the TV off, unless you're watching my program, turning the TV off once in a while and just talk, generate things. Maybe before the meal, if you'd ever talk about anything, talk about scriptures or the Bible or what you've been reading or something that's hit you. Share your faith. Don't push your faith. Share your faith and give your spouse an opportunity to share with you too. So that's really important, communication. Second thing, affection. Now here's something that's really important. That's showing that you care for people. And as I said, you know, you be the first to say good morning. You smile at people. You know, you shake their hand. You know, it's that type of a thing. Don't wait for them to come to you. You go to them. That's really important, I think. You know, otherwise you're going to get upset because they're never going to come to you when you want them to, or as much, they're never going to say good morning when you want them to. So forget all that and don't get negative. You just do it. And in community, sometimes there's guys that never say good morning, or they never say thank you after Mass. You know, I'll preach this beautiful sermon. They never even say thank you. Well, I can get all bent out of shape about it, or I can be the one that says thank you or good morning. And that's the way I'm going to be. I'm going to be positive. I'm not going to react to them. I'm going to be filled with the Holy Spirit and have a Spirit-filled personality. There's a woman in Louisiana that I know. She's a benefactor of mine, her and her husband. We play golf together sometimes. And every time we go play golf, she's one of these women that's very interested in me and in my life. And it shows that she cares. Father Cedric, what book are you writing? Father Cedric, how's the TV programs going? Father Cedric, where are you going next? You know, it's all these questions about me, and I so appreciate it because she shows affection toward me when she does that. But you know what? You got to reciprocate in a relationship. It's not all taking. So when a person does that to me, right away I'm like, hey, where's the next trip you're going on? And how's things going with your son? How's your daughter doing? You know, you try to remember those little tidbits about their life, and you ask questions about them. That's how I think relationships develop. You ask questions. You get interested in people's life. People are so self-absorbed. You know, people just want to talk about themselves. So, you know, forget talking about yourself. Be interested in the other person. Then go back and forth. Hopefully they'll reciprocate. So affection is so very important in your marriage and in your relationships. Most of you know this. I'm just kind of reviewing it, trying to spur you on to go up higher in your relationships. And then really quickly, let me tell you a story about forgiveness, because these are the three main things that make a marriage work. Communication, showing affection, being interested in your spouse, and interested in the people in your life, and then forgiveness. You know, Jesus taught, forgive 70 times 7. Does that mean 490 times? No, it means over and over and over again. In a marriage, you know how that works. I mean, people will do, you know, your spouse can do things that annoy you and upset you, and they'll keep doing it over and over again, and you got to keep forgiving them over and over and over again. Well, you know, I went to visit my mom down in Florida. She lives down in Florida, as I told you, and my sister lives nearby her, my older sister. I have two older sisters. Interesting thing about my older sister is she's not Catholic anymore. In high school, she left the church, and she married into another denomination, if you want to call it a denomination. I'm very ecumenical, by the way. I'm not lambasting this denomination. But of all things, get this, my sister became a Jehovah's Witness. Well, anyway, let's just say the Jehovah's Witnesses and Catholic don't see eye to eye completely. And I say this because I know that you all have people in your families that have left the church or aren't Catholic or other denominations, and that's okay. You know, they are what they are. But, you know, around Thanksgiving time, when you all get together around the table, it can be kind of tense. You know, for example, I've had people email me, when I'm with my relatives that are Protestant, do I make the sign of the cross? Well, you know, that's up to you. Maybe you might want to. If it doesn't offend them, go ahead. You don't want to push your faith on them, but you don't want to hide it either. So, you know, you have to make decisions like that. Well, anyway, here's my sister, Jehovah's Witness, and it was right around Easter time. I was visiting my mom this year, and it was Holy Thursday, and it was that morning, and they have this service at their Holy Thursday service, the Jehovah's Witnesses do, where they take communion, and they pass it around, the bread and the wine. They pass it in the pews. They don't come up. And nobody receives, because they have this doctrine, you have to be one of the 144,000 destined before the world, following the Lamb. It's in the book of Revelation. And if you're one of those 144,000, maybe a couple per generation or alive, then you can receive communion. The rest of them can't. It's the strangest service you've ever seen in your life. It's just all passed around. Nobody receives. They pick it up. That's it. She comes up to me and she says, Cedric, do you want to come to our service tonight? You know, I had been to that service when I was a young man. She invited us over and over. Finally, we went as a family. I thought, this is the strangest thing I've ever been to. You know, they're having communion and nobody receives. So anyway, she invites me again. Now, I almost jumped out of my skin, and here's why. She was inviting me to something that I consider to be a bastardization of what we do here, where we all come to communion, we receive Jesus. You know, the Catholic Church has been around for 2,000 years, right since the time of Christ. And she's inviting me to this service that really is a distortion of what is truth, I believe. I think you believe that too. But here's what really pushed me the wrong way. My TV programs are broadcast in Orlando, all over Central Florida, every Sunday at 3:30 in the afternoon. Now, all my beloved sister has to do is turn on that TV at 3:30. She doesn't even have to leave her home. All she has to do is turn on the TV to watch her brother, her priest brother, preach the good news, and she won't do it because she doesn't believe in the Catholic Church or anything that the Catholic Church teaches. Well, that's fine, you know, but doesn't she understand what she was doing by inviting me to her service when she won't even turn on the TV to watch her brother? She doesn't have to leave her home. Do you see the slap in the face that was? And I mean, I wanted to, like, but, you know, she's my sister. And she's such a good person. She loves my mom. She takes care of my mom so well. And, you know, a relationship with her is a high priority in my life. So no matter what I felt, I had to make the decision to forgive. She didn't know what she was doing. And most people that hurt you, they don't know what they're doing. It hurts me that she won't watch me. I mean, I've got lots of people watching me on TV, and my own sister won't watch me. My mother kind of makes up for it. I mean, she records the programs, and she's telling everybody about them and everything. But my own sister, no. And I mean, I have to forgive her. This is just one thing in our life, and I got to do it over and over again. You know, she'll try to give me these watchtowers and all these different paraphernalia. Franny, you know, we've been through all this before. I don't want to argue with you, because that's the thing, you know, with religion. You know, you say something, she says something, then all of a sudden nobody's listening, and it's not getting anywhere. So I've decided we're not going to go through all that. So anyway, it's really important in a marriage to forgive, you know, no matter what they do. One of the things, for example, in religious community I have to forgive is we sit around the TV. We'll be watching TV together, the seven of us, you know, the nightly news. And that's when all the opinions come out, and that's when all the biases come out, especially about politics. And I have to tell you, I'm in the minority in my community, politically. And it's, I mean, the other day we were sitting around watching the nightly news. It was about the healthcare reform. And I mean, they're all saying these things, and I'm sitting there, my heart's beating real fast, and I'm like, you know, and it's like they're obviously wrong, and I'm in the minority, and it's just like, I don't want to get into it. And it's you just got to forgive. These are the people that God has put me with. They don't see eye to eye. It doesn't mean they don't like me. It doesn't mean I don't like them. And sometimes, you know, just because your husband or wife has a different opinion than you doesn't mean that they're still not compatible. It doesn't mean that they don't like you. It just means that they believe in different ways. So you got to be flexible. You got to be open to other ideas. And you got to be willing to forgive. Let's talk about marriage a little deeper here. You know, marriage is an interesting sacrament. The sacrament of marriage is the only sacrament that a priest does not minister. We witness the wedding ceremony. Actually, you know, I define a sacrament as a touch of Christ. It's Jesus touching us. That's, you know, in communion, in baptism, the anointing. It's Jesus touching us, healing us, saying he's with us, confession. Well, same in the sacrament of marriage. It's Jesus touching the married people, but it's not the priest ministering it. Get this, you minister it to each other. When you say, I do, that's just the beginning. Then it's the doing throughout your married life, the forgiveness, the generosity, the giving, the taking care of, even when you don't feel like it. That's how you show Christ to each other, and it's a two-way street. The husband shows Christ to the wife, and the wife touches the husband. And that's, you minister the sacrament of marriage to each other. So you have to understand that marriage is a blessed communion, where it's not just you and your husband or wife, but Jesus is right in the middle of it, and you're trying to minister Christ to each other. And that's really what we're trying to do in any relationship. We're trying to bring Christ to another person. That's why it's so important to give and to show affection and to communicate and to forgive, because what you're trying to do with your life is to be a witness that Jesus is real, that Jesus is alive, and I hope you see Jesus living through me. And I want you to experience the touch of Christ. Now, we're talking about relationships and being generous and being kind and being forgiving, being affectionate. Let me tell you about my mother. I absolutely love my mom. She's 85 years old. She lives down in Florida. She's a widow now. My dad died 9 years ago. I try to take care of her the best I can. It's hard because I'm on the road a lot. And I'm going to see her at Thanksgiving and Christmas, God willing, you know. And I go down there, and she's 85 years old. She's my biggest supporter. She prays for me all the time. And she's, you know, offering me advice. And just, you know, I could never live without my mom. I love her so much. When I go to visit her, she annoys me. It is so hard. It's like, I don't know what the deal is, but here's a few things. Now, remember now, I love my mom. I don't want you to think I don't like her, but there are people. For example, she gets up in the morning, you know, and she's used to living alone, so she doesn't mind making noise. And, you know, she goes to the microwave and tsh, door slams, beep, 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 beep. You know, I'm laying in bed going, I hate this, you know, all this noise. She has a, you know, she's 85. I guess it's, she has a chronic cough. She's always like, you know, coughing. It's like, Mom, you know, why don't you take care of that cough? And then she drinks a lot of soda. So she has like this gurgling noise when she speaks. And I've told her, Mom, quit drinking soda, drink water. You know, but she likes soda, so she gurgles, okay. And then the first words out of her mouth when I say something is, what? And it's like, I'll say it, even, no matter how loud I say it, it's a what? And it's like, Mom, you know, can't, you have a hearing problem. I do not. Yes, you do. It's like, so anyway, let me just say there's a little frustration when I go to visit her. And I love her. Now, I said that. Well, I was in my room one time, and I'm thinking about Mom and, you know, the way it was, and she's making this noise, and she's coughing out there, and I'm thinking about the what, and, you know, all this, the gurgling and everything, and I'm getting kind of frustrated and thinking, why did I come to visit? And then listen to this. I got this vision of me as a little teeny baby, and you know what I was doing? I was coughing. I was gurgling. I couldn't hear. And I was making noise. And you know what? The one person on the face of the earth that took care of me when I needed it most was her. And all of a sudden, her coughing and gurgling and making noise and slamming doors didn't bother me anymore. Because I realized, here's what I realized, I focused on the positive thing about her, and I focused on my faults. And that's what people don't realize, that they have faults too. We like to look at ourselves through rose-colored glasses and everybody else through a magnifying glass. Do you ever notice that? And I was visiting a jeweler friend of mine, and this is what she told me. She said that every diamond, get this, every real diamond has a flaw. You may not be able to see it, but if you look at it with a glass, no matter how beautiful that diamond looks, it has a flaw. And it's the same with us. We're real. We have flaws. And you know one of the ways that you can easily forgive your spouse or people that you're in relationship with? By realizing that you're not perfect either. And she said synthetic diamonds, which are called cubic zirconias, synthetic diamonds are the only ones that are perfect. We're not synthetic. We're not fakes. We're real. And because we're real, we've got flaws. Now, how do you forgive a person? By realizing that you're not perfect and by trying to focus on the positive points in their life. And in my mom's case, you know, she supports me, she loves me, she prays for me. She's the one that took care of me when I couldn't take care of myself. I'll do anything for her. She annoys me, but I love her, you know? And it's true. Some of the people that you're married to, yeah, they annoy you. It's hard. They do things that you would never do, but you do things that they would never do either. And you got to realize that you've got flaws too. So this is how you improve your relationships. You focus on the positive. You realize that you've got flaws. You try to communicate. You reach out in love with affection. You forgive the faults of others. You know, you try to prize the relationship above all things. You know, I live with 7 guys, as I said, and every one of them has their faults. I listed some of them here. I mean, there's different things. One guy's opinionated, and, you know, he just has to have his opinion about everything. Another guy's controlling. Another guy has a messy room. One guy shops too much. Another guy is gruff. But every one of them will give you the shirt off their back. And I mean, they've devoted themselves to people. And if I focus on their negative points, I just want to leave the community. But when I focus on their positive points and the fact that I'm flawed too, okay, let's make this work. I can do it with God's help, and so can you. So really, folks, as I bring this to a close, Jesus taught us by this, all people will know that you're my disciples. If you love one another. And what is love? Well, it's caring for people, it's giving people energy, it's communication, it's affection, it's forgiveness, it's focusing on their positive points, and it's really wanting to make the relationship work. We were created to be related, and it's really, really important that you make it work. And I think that's ultimately how we're going to be judged. How did you treat people? Did you care for them? Did you reach out? Did you give? Did you forgive? Because that's what we're asking God to do for us. So as I come to a conclusion, I simply want to say, I pray that your relationships will improve, that you'll receive the anointing right now to go the extra mile, to be generous, to be caring. And then, of course, I pray that you will be a witness to Christ by your love, by your smile, by your energy, by your attitude. May Almighty God bless you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I hope you enjoyed the teaching about relationships. Now, I'm not asking you to go down the Amazon or to go to India, but I'm asking you to love the ones that you're with. You've heard the saying, charity begins at home. You give the other person energy, you forgive them, you communicate, you keep stretching yourself and going out. And when you do that, what happens is you become a witness of Christ to the people that you live with. And really, being a witness is what Christianity is all about. So living with passion means that your relationships improve, that you touch people, and that you love people. Don't just live, live with passion. I so appreciate hearing from so many of you, emails and letters, and many of you are buying my books. And what I hear sometimes is that, Father, I found your program because I was flipping through the channels and I just happened to come into your program. Well, I had a man come up to me to confession, a wonderful confession. And he said at the end of the, Father, I got to tell you something. The only reason I'm here today is because I found your program. And as I was flipping through, I listened to you. Then I tried to change the channel and it wouldn't change. And I know that God wanted me to hear what you had to say, and that's why I came to confession. And I believe that God wants you to hear what I have to say, and that's why you tuned into the program. And so many others are tuning in and finding God in a personal way. And it's because of your support, buying my resources, that I stay on the air. I want to interest you in a couple books. This book on the Holy Spirit will change your life, revolutionize you like it did me. And this book called Live Passionately will help you to make sense out of your suffering. I rely upon your support, buying my resources, and I thank you so much for your emails. Some of you might want to become partners with my ministry. You can just email me or write me, and I'll send you one of these letters. Thank you for helping me to reach out. Live with passion.
Father Cedric is also the author of 13 top-selling books, all enjoyable and inspirational reading in his own conversational style. These books and audio CDs are always available at Father Cedric's personal appearances by calling the number on your screen, by writing, and also on the website. Check out www.frcedric.org. Here, you can easily purchase the books and CDs and find out when Father Cedric is coming to a location near you.